Good morning and welcome to Celebration Church. We're so glad that you joined us this morning. Today is the second week that my papa's been in heaven, so we're going to start this out with a song that we're going to dedicate to him, I Saw the Light, because he did see the light.
Celebration. Thanks for joining us today. Glorious day. God's creation is beautiful, and we just thank you that you can take part with us in our worship. A couple of things. We do have our contact information on the screen for you that you can get in touch with us if you have needs. If you have any questions, comments, feel free to get in touch with us, whether by email or by phone. And wanted to let you know that Prayer Fest continues to happen on Saturdays. And any of you who would like to partake, let us know. We'd like to help you to go out into the community and bless this community. I think some of what Prayer Fest has accomplished already is now the county commissioners have sent a variance to the state so that we might be able to start meeting in the next 2 or 3 weeks. We'll see. We will do what we can. We're trying to stay abreast of it. And that'll do it for the announcements and then our prayer time. We're going to go into John 1, the first 5 verses, and I'll read that here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And then in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And so let's go to the Lord and just thank him that he is the creator, he is the Word, and that he's made a way for us to get back to the Father. And I've got a list of several people I'd like you to lift up today. The Morgan Corum Pool families and the loss of Ray. Lisa Corum, she's dealing with a lot of pain in her back, neck, and mouth. And then John Brandon, he's got lots of weaknesses going on. He's struggling to get around. And then Daniel up in Cimarron is getting a well drilled, and just that they will find good water. Go before the Lord in these, and then if you have other requests, lay them for him now. Then ask the Lord to open your heart up to the message that comes today through song and through Gary Corum as he brings the word to us. Just ask the Lord to open your heart to what he has for you, and then also to strengthen Gary as he brings the word to us. Father, we just thank you for this time we come together, that we do have the freedom to worship you. And we just come before you and ask humbly that you would allow us to meet as a body in this building soon, and that we can enjoy other aspects of worship, including fellowship and just being able to see and love each other in person. We thank you for being in this country where we're used to these freedoms. And we just ask that you'd be in other countries that have never known these kind of freedoms that we have. And be with those Christians whose lives are at stake every day. And just hold them up and bless all that they do. Help our faith to be real like theirs, where what we do matters, it's eternal significance, and we just ask that you'd help us to share what you've given us with others. Now go before us in this time of worship. We just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
So these last couple of weeks have been pretty hard on our family. But one thing we've never questioned is that God is with us and God is good, even through the really hard times. My nanny said this week that she was mad at that old rascal because he beat us to Jesus. And I hope that you have the trust and the assurance of salvation that Jesus is in your heart and you know where he's going after this life is over. So sing with us, God with us.
Sweet beliefs from Yeah.
morning. We just stand in awe in your presence, Lord. I just pray if there's someone watching this morning, Jesus, that they feel that gentle tug on their heart, God. I just pray that you open their hearts and their minds to receive you, Jesus, and just to let them know that this world is nothing without you, that there is no hope without you, Jesus, that in Christ alone is where our hope is found. God, I just ask that you be with my dad as he brings the message this morning. Be with all of our church family that can't be together, God. Just touch them and give them peace and just assurance of your love. Until we can meet again, Lord, in your name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, Celebration. I was going to go ahead and preach from the drums where I could add cymbals and rim shots, but the elders thought that might be a bad idea. So you're going to just get it this way. It's great to see you guys. It's wild times. I want to start off by reading the 23rd Psalm. If I was a good elder and a good Christian, I could quote it, but I would probably blow it. So if you got your Bible, turn to Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In these times we're in, that psalm right there, it covers the whole realm of what we're going through. We're nervous, we're afraid, we're scared, we don't understand, but every part of that, he's with us. His rod and his staff comfort us. So I encourage every one of you watching, buy into that. It's real. It's true. And if you look around, we're in uncharted waters. We've never been this way before. I can't think of any time in history that I've read about or been taught about that the whole world is brought to its knees. We can't trust the media. We're skeptical of our government and their agenda. There's no sports. We can't go to restaurants. There are no amusement parks. All of our normal life has changed completely. We can go shopping at Walmart or Home Depot, but we can't go to church. It's unsettling and it's scary. We've got the public bathrooms that our tax dollars paid for locked, and we got porta pots sitting beside them. That's crazy. We got to wear masks and check our temperature at the door and wear gloves. It's just crazy. But I'm going through this list for a reason. As a red-blooded Western American redneck, this nonsense rankles me to the core. Every fiber of my being wants to raise up and fight back. And sadly, I'm playing right into the enemy's hands. And God really clearly showed me that over the last week as I was preparing this message. All he's got to do is set back and let us chase our tails, and we become completely irrelevant as far as the kingdom. So I want to share some thoughts on this and give us some biblical guidance and some thoughts from a little different perspective that God's really laid on my heart as I prepared this. A couple weeks ago, our elders, myself and three others, met to discuss this. How do we go forward? How do we deal with less than 10 or less than 50 or less than 100? And the discussion developed into what do we do about this order put over us. And I love my brothers, and we always agree, even if it's to agree to disagree. But we came out of that meeting after a very robust discussion with a firm agreement that we were all going to pray and see what God would have us to do. one of my biggest issues as an elder is we're paying for and maintaining a beautiful, empty building. We're doing praise and worship, and we're preaching to a camera in an empty room. And it just drives me crazy. But after that elders meeting, after we agreed to pray and seek God's wisdom and guidance, as usual, when Gary Corum will shut up and sit back and say, okay, Lord, I need some help here, he answered me, and he gave me a very clear answer. So the title of today's message is Focus. And you'll see what I mean as I go forward. The very next day after that meeting, and in the meeting I was discussing, this is crazy, we're preaching to a camera and it's going out there. The very next morning driving to work, I was listening to David Jeremiah, and his first sentence just amazed me. He said, as I stand here preaching to an empty room and reaching more people than I have ever reached in my life, and the light went on. God spoke to me. This is working. It's uncomfortable. We don't like it. A lot of us that aren't tech savvy, we just don't know how to do it. But God's using this. There was no end run put around God. He knew exactly what was happening when this happened. He's allowed it, and his purposes are going to be accomplished through it. And we need to get on board and be part of it, and especially Gary Corum. So another thing I was really rankled about is this social distancing. And in my heart, and it was a true thing, I'm thinking, that's not biblical, that's not scriptural, but it is. Do you remember in 2 Kings 5, and I won't read it, but if you've read your Bible, you know it, it's Naaman and Elisha. Naaman had conquered every place, but he had leprosy. And he asked Elisha to ask God to heal him. Elisha wouldn't come out and meet him when he came there. He sent a servant out and said, go wash yourselves in the Jordan River 7 times. And Naaman was outraged, but he did it and he was healed. But the point is, Elisha was practicing social distancing. Jonah practiced the ultimate social distancing in the belly of a whale for 3 nights and days. Moses went out in the desert for 40 years after he fled Egypt. Social distancing, because if he stayed close to Egypt, they'd kill him. But the bottom line, social distancing was then and is now, it is a biblical thing. And there's a practical reason for it. So we can embrace that and do the best we can with it as we go on about God's business. So there's a few reminders I want to lay out. And this part of my message is for the believers, for Celebration Church and any believers listening to this. It applies to every one of us, and it's really important. First off, in Jeremiah 33:20, let me read that for you. And this is concerning, God was talking about David here, but the point applies. In 33:20, God says, thus says the Lord, if you can break my covenant with the day, my covenant with the night, so that there will not be day and night in their season, only then my covenant may also be broken with David, my servant. The point being there, that was specifically at David. But tomorrow morning when you see that sun come up, tonight when you see it go down and you see night coming, that's a covenant God set in place in Genesis 1:1. It's still there. The God that made that is watching over us and protecting us. And remember that every morning when you see that sun come up, if you get up that early, but that is a covenant with God that's ongoing and it's never going to end. That God, it loves us and is protecting us. Think of the rainbow. We all know the story of Noah, and that rainbow is a covenant that he's never going to flood the earth again. Those, I mention those because I want us as we're in our outrage and uncertainty, we need a reminder every day, a couple times a day, and those are there. The next thing is, we've got a job to do. In Acts 1:8, and I could probably quote it, but I'm going to read it so I don't mess it up. If you got your Bible, go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." As we put that in context, Jerusalem in here is the actual Jerusalem, but us, that's Montrose. It's our hometown. We need to be a witness for Jesus in Montrose. Judea, Delta, Ridgeway, towns close to us that we can still go to, maybe not past the 10-mile thing, but still. Samaria, Grand Junction, Gunnison, and to the ends of the earth, which right now is going to be done via camera and YouTube and Facebook. Because I believe very shortly, maybe right now, the day is going to come where you're not going to travel internationally without proof of vaccination. The days of us, I'm a Gideon. I love passing out Bibles, and I've been able to go around the world passing out Bibles. Those days may be over soon. So we need to apply some urgency to what's going on here. When Jesus said that, that wasn't a suggestion. That's our job. He sent us out as a believer. We've got to do this. And I've been completely sidelined for a month as I fight the stuff going on in our society. But God's got that. He'll take care of it. We need to be about our business. You've heard the song "Burn the Ships" by King and Country. I think they are. But that applies so much to where we're at right now. And that story actually came from in 1519. Hernando Cortez sailed to defeat the Yucatan Peninsula. When he arrived there, he offloaded his men and supplies and he burned the ships. And he told them, "We're going to succeed or we're going to die." Plain and simple. That's it. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, we are at that spot as Christians. Our life as we've known it as Christians, comfort, set in our padded seats and all that, is changed forever. It's never going to be the same. Hopefully we're going to be back here to our nice padded seats. But what we had 2 months ago has changed. And we need to do that same thing. As believers, it's time to jump in wholeheartedly. There's no turning back. And just like those guys burned their ships, we need to cut the ties with the world. We need to daily see what God would have us to do as his children and be about doing it. There's a lost and dying world out there. And seriously, there's over 4 billion people that have never heard the name Jesus Christ. It's our job to let them hear that name and let them meet him. And we can do it through YouTube, Facebook, and the internet. Seriously, there's could be people overseas watching me right now as I say these words. We can do that, but doing that is so much more important than defeating the Yucatan Peninsula like Cortez tried to do. So I want to challenge you. Think over just the last week. Every conversation you've had, think of it. By the second sentence, it is, "What about this virus? What about this lockdown? We can't go camping. We can't go fishing. We can't go more than 10 miles from our home." That's what everybody is talking about, and for obvious reasons. But during that time, do you realize what a huge opportunity it is to say, "That's true. But I know one thing. If I get it and die, I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going to spend eternity." Do you? It gives you a chance to share your faith without trying to look for an open door. It is an open door. And so many people are afraid right now and scared, with good reason. Every day it spirals further out of control. But going back to Acts 1:8, we've got a job to do. God will handle the world. He'll handle the government. He already is. He put him there. We've got to handle God's job that he gave us to do. I know exactly what you're thinking, because I think the same thing. I'm not good at that. I'm not trained. I don't want to say something to them that'll mess them up and mess up their salvation. We're not going to get someone saved. We're not going to eloquently talk them into accepting Christ. That's God's job. Our job is to share our faith. Ray dying, he shared his faith so amazingly, and his main thing is all they need is Jesus. That's all we need to do, every one of us. And we've got the chance, think of it, you've got the chance 20 times a day. And a lot of them do know Jesus, but I'm encouraging you as a Christian, as my brother and sister in Christ, let's go reach the world. And right now we can reach Jerusalem legally, right here, Montrose. We can reach this prayer fest where we're driving around praying for these neighborhoods. That we can do it. And I'm telling you, that prayer fest, like Dave said, has a lot to do with why suddenly we're applying for a variance. So I really do. I want to challenge you today, even the next conversation you have, just add that one sentence. I know where I'm going to spend eternity. Do you? We can't allow what's going on in the world to sideline us. And like I said, I really have the last month. I've been so outraged with what's, that I'm having to give up my rights and all that, that I have overlooked the job that Jesus gave me to do. And I'm back on the job, Lord. Message received. So in Luke 9:62, let me read that so I don't mess it up. Jesus said to him, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Every one of us as believers, when we accepted Christ, we took on that job to go share our faith and be witnesses to him to the ends of the earth. The situation that's happened to us, we've put it on hold. And I want to make sure every one of us is fit for the kingdom of God. And we are. But I needed a reminder. Get back out and be about the master's business. I've lost my page again. Just one second. And in Philippians 3... 13 and 14. I lost my way, just one second. I can't find it, but it's the verse that says, "I do not consider myself to attained, but I look forward to what's coming and not backwards at what's behind." We can't change this virus. It's happened. The national mindset is, or the global mindset is, we got to hunker down and hide from this virus. And we can't change that. But we can go on about the Lord's business. And none of us are perfect. None of us have it figured out completely. Only Jesus did that. But we can go out and do God's business in spite of this. We can do it right here in Montrose. We can do it via Facebook, the internet, and go on and do it. So, brothers and sisters from Celebration and believers, that part of the message has been for you, and I hope it's an encouragement and a challenge. I hope you take it serious. But also, I'm praying, and I know they are, there's people out there watching this that are seeking an answer. And I believe that answer is God. I want to give you some points to consider as you listen to this. And I'm trying to keep it short on purpose to where you'll listen to the whole thing. First off, heaven is real. It's a real place. It's ruled by God. And if you're in heaven, you'll be able to talk to him face to face. And when you get there, you'll see him as he is, and your mind will work completely. The questions you have here will be answered, or you'll be able to ask him face to face, and he'll answer them for you. There's no sorrow. There's no pain. There's no loss. You don't have to lock your door. There's justice. There's no sin. You couldn't sin if you tried to. It's not there. But there's only one way to get there. And I do a lot of jail ministry, and I tell the guys, if you heard a voice right now saying, I've accepted you, come on up to heaven, where is it? It's not on any map. There's only one way to get there. And in John 14:6, our brother Dave just read that on his. But I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me, Jesus. So if God's invited you up, if for no other reason, you need a Savior to show you how to get there. But there's better reasons. You need forgiveness for your sins. We're all sinners. So I'm going to, there is one way on GPS to get to heaven. It's called God's plan of salvation. And I'm going to share that with you right now. In Romans 5:8, God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Every human being, with the exception of Jesus, is a sinner. When Adam fell, sin entered the world, and it's still here in a big way, as we can all see. But Christ died for us while we were still sinners. And that's so important, if you haven't accepted Christ, to realize he paid the price for you already. In Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I know a lot, if you hold the Pope up or Billy Graham or Jimmy Swaggart or any great name, they're still men. They're still sinners. They need a Savior just like you. So take that to heart. The debt is paid. The song we just sang, the debt is paid. Christ did it when he died on that cross and rose again in 3 days. He paid that price. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a free gift, and it's Christ paid that price. All you have to do is accept it. Again, I use the example in jail ministry. I'll take a dollar bill and say, this is for you. When does it do you any good? It does, it, just because it's yours in my hand does you no good at all. It's when you reach out and accept that free gift that you can spend it. With Jesus, it's the same thing. It's a free gift, but he's a gentleman. He's not going to force you. You have to accept it for it to do you any good. And lastly, Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. Everyone. There's a lot of questions out there, and people, there's, you know, they say they're all roads lead to God and all that. That's a lie from hell. There's only one way to God, and that's Jesus Christ. So that those verses I just did, it's called the Romans Road to Salvation. And if those have spoken to you, if you feel a stirring in your heart right now, that's the Holy Spirit's still small voice talking to your heart. And he's real. And this is your invitation to accept him today. So I'm going to do this prayer. And if you're out watching this and this has meant some to you, pray this along with me. And then there, our contact information is on the screen. Get a hold of us and let us pray with you. And if you need a Bible, we'll get you one. And when we open up where you can come fellowship with us, we'll get you in here. But in the meantime, we'll tell you about what you've just done, the decision you've just made. So if you would, join me in this quick prayer. Lord, I need you right now. I know I'm a sinner, But you paid the price, Lord. Right now, I acknowledge you as my Lord and Savior, and I ask you into my heart. I give my life to you, Lord, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's my prayer that there's people out there that prayed that prayer with me just now. And if you did, it's real. Christ has come into your heart. You're a new creation, and you can go to heaven. So I'm going to close with this. I'm praying for the day that we can meet in here again as brothers and sisters in the Lord. We've got an awesome foyer out there with coffee and donuts. But until that time, focus. Don't let the world distract you like it did me for the last month. Focus on what God sent us to do. And let's go out and win Montrose, Colorado, and the state of Colorado, and the nation of America for Christ. And we can do it. Thank you, and see you next week.